There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome back. I didn't do my warm-ups. Do you feel ready?
Yeah, like I've got that phlegm in my throat that I like, in the back of my throat that I... Yep.
I'm excited for this week's Caravan of Garbage because it does, in a way, loosely tie into The Mandalorian, the new Star Wars TV series.
Oh, that's why we're doing this.
That's why.
In retrospect, hindsight is 20/20. It does very loosely tie into that.
That's right, yeah.
We watched 3 episodes of The Clone Wars.
And not just any 3 episodes, 3 specific episodes.
Yes.
First of all, if people could leave a like on this video, that would help us greatly. But the 3 episodes we looked at in particular.
It's a classic revenge story, isn't it?
Boy, is it.
I want to say first off the bat, it's relevant because we're talking about Boba Fett. Young Boba Fett. Because the Clone Wars takes place between Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith.
Correct.
Right? Okay, good. This is my first exposure to the Clone Wars, so I'm excited I got that correct. So this is a 3-episode arc.
Yes.
And I spent at least an episode and a half going, why does Boba Fett want to get revenge on Mace Windu? What did Mace Windu ever do to him? And then I remembered, oh, that's right, Mace Windu beheaded your dad.
That's right.
But in fairness, he beheaded your dad in such a casual, blasé way. Like, Jango Fett's like, it's time for the epic battle of the ages. And then Mace Windu's like, nah, get wrecked, scrub.
He did it like he was opening a screen door.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It was just that
to
kind
let
of
the dog out.
Kind of movement. Yeah, and
sure.
It was done, yeah.
But then I'm like, oh, that's right. So that's what this is about. So
that's
this
right.
So this is Boba Fett, Boba Fett, is attempting to, he wants to get on a Jedi ship.
Yes.
That Mace Windu is on so he can kill Mace
that's
Windu.
Right. Yeah. The episodes are called Death Trap, R2 Come Home, and Lethal Track Down.
Ooh.
We've covered some young Boba Fett stuff before. We did a non... We've covered some young Boba...
Didn't do your vocal warm-ups.
We've covered some young Boba Fett stuff before, but it's a non-canon comic.
And this is as canon as the day is long until they decide to change it.
That's right. And what's interesting about this also is that they brought back Daniel Logan, who actually bloody cameoed in the last video we did, to voice young Boba Fett like
there
he did.
Go.
And also the other cadet troopers.
All right.
Yes.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
So oftentimes we will talk about the Uncanny Valley, which is where you give human features to like an object.
Yeah, sure.
And the closer it is to being human, the more unsettling it is.
Until it becomes dead on.
Yeah, and I think we need a new term for when every character in a scene has the same weird, creepy, sneering little boy face. Because that's what we get in this. We get a bunch of... And that's how Boba Fett can sneak in, because all the clones look exactly the same.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
Well, it's a brilliant idea. Yeah. But first of all, I think, given that the prequels are primarily concerned with trade blockades and, like, bureaucracy,
sure.
I'm sort of amazed that he got in. Like, where's his paperwork? You know what I mean? But apparently he can just walk up and be like, yeah, I'm in this group. And they're like, fine,
well,
identical
I think that's,
kid.
That's what's great about this idea. I mean, the planet itself, sure, it makes sense, but... Dave Filoni's behind these 3 episodes, and he's actually doing a lot of directing and writing on The Mandalorian. He said he gave more thought to these 3 episodes than anything else he'd done in this series up to this point.
Well, he should have given more thought to making it easier for me to differentiate between all the characters. I know they,
haircuts,
all, have, they all have different haircuts, but you could show me those characters for like a million episodes in a row, and I wouldn't be like, well, the guy with the crew cut, he's impulsive, but the guy with the fashionable flat top, he's the leader, whatever. Like, I don't give... Do it Ninja Turtle style. Give them different colored bandanas. Then I can tell them apart, all right? Then I would know which one is cool but rude and which one is a party dude.
I've seen some of Clone Wars, not all of it.
Uh-huh.
And they definitely do manage to differentiate between all the different clone characters.
Oh, so these characters come back? Not the grown-up ones.
There's some in this that do make reappearances, but they're not like the main Clone Wars characters that then turn up in Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, right.
And apparently one of them is probably in Return of the Jedi, maybe.
There are some characters that I recognize in this series, obviously.
Mace Windu, Anakin Skywalker, Ahsoka Tano.
Don't know who that is. Anakin Skywalker is much more charming than he is
in the movies. They really beef up the charm for this series.
Like, I'm like, oh, this guy's likable. Oh, it's Anakin Skywalker.
Wait, what?
Weird twist, but all right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
There are some characters that are missing, though. Where's 3PO?
There's other adventures going on.
Oh, there's other adventures. Okay, that's where Ben Kenobi is.
That's right, exactly.
Okay, right.
Though at this point, he's not known as Ben Kenobi. He's known just as Ben Kenobi. His other name, yeah. You know
Chaz
it, yeah.
Kenobi, I get it.
Chaz Kenobi.
But there's some characters that I don't recognize. So there's another Jedi pair. So there's
the
weird crab-faced man.
Blue Coon. You've actually played as him in, remember we did Jedi Power Battles, like Yonks back?
Nope, but it sounds like something I would do. And then he's got an apprentice.
Yes. Ahsoka Tano, who's Anakin Skywalker's apprentice initially. And she then turns up in Star Wars Rebels. She's currently kind of missing in the galaxy. We're not sure the next point that she turns up in. But when she was introduced, because Clone Wars, of course, as you may know, and I'm sure people watching this know, who are massive fans of this, bigger than us, she was a really hated character. But she grows, she becomes
physically,
physically she does.
At a certain point, she can't fit through a hallway on one of those starships.
Yeah. And she becomes more wise and interesting and developed. And she's probably one of the more popular Star Wars characters now that exist.
There you go.
As a result of this series. So it's interesting because some characters never kind of quite make that transition.
Mm.
Like there's sympathy towards...
Like young Boba Fett.
I was getting like,
and all his little friends.
And all his little friends. But I feel like there's sympathy towards characters like Jar Jar Binks. And people remember Dexter Jetster, but there wasn't that growth from hatred to love that there was with that character.
Well, I mean, sure. But I mean, Dexter Jetster gets one scene. So you either like him or you don't, surely.
Sure. And we love him.
We love him.
But what I wanted to say was, though, I think this story idea in itself is excellent. The fact that you can just take this kid and just slot him in with other clone troopers.
Yeah.
And then he could just walk about
because
to do whatever.
Yeah, so the basically a young Boba Fett, after the death of his father, he falls in with a bunch of other bounty hunters, including Bosk.
Including Bosk and Aura Singh, who is mentioned that Woody Harrelson's character killed her in Solo. Like, it's an offhand kind of mention.
Right.
It's like, oh, thanks for killing Aura Singh or whatever. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. And so they want to destroy the Jedi.
Yeah.
They want to blow up that ship. They want to scuttle that ship. And so their plan is to get... And Boba just wants to kill Mace Windu. So they decide they'll get him on the ship.
Mm.
And then he thinks he's going to just get rid of Mace Windu, but they want to kind of maneuver him to kill everybody.
Yeah.
And what I like about this is that it's sort of reminiscent of like an old Scooby-Doo cartoon where it's often, you know, some kids will learn a lesson, be like, don't talk to strangers because you get in a lot of trouble. And this one, it's like, don't get involved in a really elaborate revenge plot because you will regret it. Because eventually he's like, I'm going to get in here and I'm going to kill Mace Windu and it's going to be great. And he's like, oh no, I've bit off more than I could chew.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, he's got a blaster to the back of a hostage's head that he has to shoot on television. He's like, I don't know about this. I just wanted to kill my sweet tooth. Yeah.
That's why you don't talk to strangers.
That's right. What I think is also interesting about his revenge is his father wasn't great.
No.
Like, he wasn't a great person, but he's just... Also, he's technically not his father. They're the same person.
They're brothers. They are the same. They're all things to all men.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
each other.
Yeah.
And also, he's got so many more dads to choose from. If he just wanted to pick another dad, they're all right.
But
there.
It's not the same because they've all got programming and genetic tampering,
see, right.
So they're more compliant and things like that.
But
yeah.
Boba Fett doesn't, right?
Also, they've got different haircuts than his father.
It's true. That'd throw you right off. Exactly. Yeah. What if you're like, I've got to choose a new dad, and that one's like bald with a ponytail? You'd be like, nah, bad choice.
Yeah, but that would be absolutely haunting that this kid is walking around the galaxy with all these clone troopers who just have the face of his dad, and he eventually grows into his dad. Like, it's a bizarre scenario.
How fast do the clones grow? Because it's...
They're accelerated.
Okay, because this show...
He's not.
Yeah, because this show opens on, like, a bunch of little cadets going to visit the Jedi ship, and they're like, hey kids, this is what you're in for. Mm. And it's like, we're having fun and we're shooting blasters at clay targets or whatever. But at the same time, it's like, hey kids, you're going to be involved in endless war. We're fully expecting by the time you're grown adults, this war will still be going. You're fully expected to be involved.
Yeah,
how fun's that?
Yeah, that's also, that is at heart kind of one of the points of the prequels. This clone army that the Jedi find and then go, all right, well, we'll just use this then.
Yeah, right.
Like the whole thing is twisted and really fucked up. And this show kind of does a good job of highlighting some of the flaws of this particular ideology, which the Jedi have backed for some reason.
Yeah, right.
Because they've kind of been manipulated into it. But it's also interesting that you do get a bit of Boba Fett, for one, being competent. We don't see a lot of that on screen.
That's true, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, at this point, he's too young to know the rules, so he can break the rules.
But that's true.
Modern, you know, adult Boba Fett's like, he's too burdened by the rules, you know?
Yeah,
he's too burdened by his bounty hunter handbook.
That's right.
He's like, am I authorized to use my grappling hook? Or oh, my jetpack? Oh, no, I've fallen into a pit.
Yeah,
I'm dead. Right.
But he's also in a position where it looks like he is going to maybe go one way. Like, he's kind of got a choice to kind of maybe be nicer as a human being.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, capture Han Solo and freeze him and whatever and end up in the bottom of a space worm.
Oh, I thought that was the nice way. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Or a bad way.
Or a bad way. It's also the thing about this kid is, you know he never gets his revenge. So
That's true.
The whole thing's like a fool's errand if you know the story.
I mean, he might have heard on the grapevine that the Emperor zapped him to death.
But even then,
he'd be like, nuts.
I wanted that.
Yeah, right.
But I think that would
maybe I can find where the body is and kick it a few times.
But that wouldn't be satisfying at all. Also, there's so much misinformation about what happened to the Jedi and whatever. Who knows what he actually ended up hearing?
Also, are there some rumors that Mace Windu is still alive?
There are rumors of that, yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, I know Samuel L. Jackson wants it. And, you know, with the Jedi, they can fall great distances, missing a hand, like Luke did, you know, and survive. So,
and he's probably a ghost as well. So how are you ever going to get your revenge, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I'd imagine that that would also inform his future where he never got that closure. You know, he kind of could have capped off his revenge and bloodlust. But like, I guess, Batman, he never gets that moment. So he's just on this endless quest to just be a dick to everybody forever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What did you think about R2-D2's little side adventure, which is actually a parody of Lassie Come Home, because the episode is called R2 Come Home.
Oh, I see.
Where they're like,
right.
R2, go for help. We're trapped. We're trapped up this well or whatever.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. So, yeah, because Windu and Anakin are trapped under this bulkhead or whatever it is. And yeah.
He's off having little adventures. And
with his little R2 friend. What's the other guy's name? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Dan, right?
Yeah, for sure. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He's torn to pieces. Yeah. I forgot.
And there's a lot of, I feel, in the prequels in particular, R2 doing a really heroic thing while everyone else is just like, R2, you dumbass. And he's like struggling with a battle droid or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He's pushing a Star Destroyer up a hill. Rest of it. He's like, come on. And they're on the radios like, R2, quit messing about and come back here. And he's like, ugh. Do we ever learn where R2 comes from? I mean, he's an R2 droid. There's a lot of them.
He's special. He's from the Queen's ship in episode one. He's just on board.
Mm.
Like, that's the first we see of him. I'm sure there's probably a story in relation to where he came from and why he's special from Legends and then canon, like, before that.
Okay,
but
right.
The first screen appearance, he just rolls out to fix a shield, and that's the first time we see him.
He's very capable, and I respect him.
Me too. Now, we don't actually get Boba Fett's armor in this. That happens in later episodes of
The
Clone Wars.
No, we get a booby-trapped Mandalorian helmet though, right?
That's right. That surprised me because I always just assumed that he just spray-painted his dad's helmet.
Right, uh-huh, sure.
But he did use it as a booby trap. Also, there seems to be a lot of Jedi's barely escaping explosions in this just by pure chance.
Oh, yeah, sure. But that's Star Wars movies, really.
That's Star Wars movies, I guess.
But also, they've got the Force, don't they?
They've got the Force.
It's probably the Force.
Mace Windu was going to walk into that booby trap door.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. There's some very iffy uses of Force powers. What's the other apprentice name?
Sokotano.
Mm. At one point, she's just like, oh, my master told me to use the Force. I'll just stand here and listen.
Yes.
And then she just hears some people going, there was a murder and the culprit was this person. And she's like, I've done it. The Force has told me what to. You just listen. You didn't use the Force. You used your ears, lady.
And the Force together in conjunction. Yeah.
That's the thing, because there's this plot where, you know, all the clone troopers are trying to find this traitor, you know, in the ship.
Who is it?
Use the Force. Surely. There'd be a big red dot. Use your force map. Use your force vision. If video games have taught me nothing,
just switch your force vision.
Hit R1 and your force vision will come up and Boba Fett will appear as a big red marker. And then you just go up some stairs. There'll be a meter marker on there that'll get smaller and then you'll find him.
Then you behead him.
You behead him real quick.
Yeah, but there is, we see what I think are either a nod or who knows, maybe they're the exact boots. Aura Sing's boots are spiked like Boba Fett's and shoots little darts.
Oh.
Now, we never see him do that in any of the movies.
Never gets a chance, does he?
But yeah, I guess that's where he at least got the idea for this particular weapon that he never uses in the movies.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah, but you know, if you look back at Empire Strikes Back, he's got those boots.
I mean, maybe it's just a fashion thing. Maybe you're not a bounty hunter if you don't have them boots that shoot spikes out of them.
That's
know
a
what
very
I mean?
Good point, yeah.
And if you can't afford them like Boba Fett, you just get boots that look like that, but they don't have the function in them, you know?
Like people who got those Nike pumps or whatever, or Reebok pumps that don't actually work. Love it. I just wanted to mention as well, as I said, he does show up in later episodes, and there was kind of a conclusion to the arc of his character in this particular animation.
Oh, I see, right. Okay, tell me about it.
But these were cancelled. Now, there was some footage that does exist, though, unfinished. There's a showdown between Boba Fett and a bunch of bounty hunters against Count Dooku, because Count Dooku, of course...
Oh, Dooku, yes.
Because Dooku, of course, he got his dad to be the clone template and then, I guess, got him killed indirectly.
Sure,
I suppose,
right,
yeah. But also we find out how Boba Fett got the dent in his helmet. It looks like he's been hit with a rock or something.
Oh, yeah. Was he hit with a rock?
No, he wasn't. Okay. He didn't run into a door or anything like that.
He didn't stand up. Like, he didn't open a cupboard door in his kitchen and then stand up too fast. Like, oh, I forgot I opened that door.
Have you ever done that?
Yes.
God, it hurts.
I know.
No, he was shot in the head.
Oh, okay, that'll do it.
He was in a showdown with Cad Bane, who's another famous bounty hunter who features a lot in this series.
I'm picturing a cowboy hat, don't correct me.
He does have a cowboy hat.
What?
Yes, he does. Yeah, so that's like a fully armored kind of situation.
Yeah,
which,
right.
Well, they have... brought back the Clone Wars, so it's entirely possible that maybe we'll see some version of that.
Yeah, cool.
This is the section of the video, though, I like to call, hey, here's some trivia that people will probably come at us with in the comments. And look, I'm mentioning it here so I don't get a million comments forever about that.
But don't you love comments?
I do.
I love comments.
But sometimes I leave stuff out because it's not interesting.
How about if you hear a piece of trivia that you were going to say anyway, put it in the comments and say, I know you mentioned it, but I was going to say, and then give us the trivia anyway.
Fair point. Dave Filoni got Kevin Kiner to create music, distinct themes, I should say.
Oh, yes.
For specific characters in this episode, like Boba Fett when he's thinking about his father.
Bloom, 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 bloom. Bloom, bloom, bloom.
Which is not something they'd done so much in previous episodes. You know, in television, you are limited by time and budget, but this kind of went out of its way to go, let's not do generic-y Star Wars-y themes. Let's give them some moments.
I have to say, having not seen this before, and despite the creepy child faces, this has the sheen of quality to it.
Oh, yeah.
It's got good writing. It's got pretty good dialogue.
Yeah.
It's got good action. It's less kind of blink and you miss it frenetic than the last Star Wars cartoon we watched, which I think was Rebels.
No, that was Clone Wars.
That was the original Clone Wars. Okay, right.
Which I'd love to come back to,
because
I also enjoy that a lot. Another bit of trivia is, in the scene where Boba Fett gets caught infiltrating the Endurance's engine room, he asks if the clone trooper is holding a DC-15A, to which the trooper replies affirmative. However, the blaster is a DC-15S.
Oh,
the
my
contradiction
God.
Was removed when the designation DC-15S was put into Legends continuity in 2014. Thank goodness.
That is embarrassing, but I'm happy to see the rare return of the stun mode.
Ah,
which
you
we see,
know it.
Which we see once every 10 years, if that. People don't like to stun in this universe. They like to kill.
They like to kill. Before we chuff off, though, into the great yonder, Mason.
Yes, that classic Star Wars expression.
You know,
chuff off into the great wonder, whatever he said. They say it at the end of every Star Wars movie.
They do. I know you take issue with Boba Fett perceived to be the greatest bounty hunter in the galaxy, because in the movies, I would say, with the exception of the prequels, where he's shown to be mostly competent as a child, he's a goof. You know, he's greatly feared, and he does some walking around and snarling, but he doesn't do much to prove that he's the greatest.
That's true, yeah. He's flash over substance,
yes,
that guy, yeah.
I'm wondering whether this canonical series has changed your opinion on Boba Fett in any way.
It's increased my opinion of his skills, and it's also increased the punchability of his face.
Sure.
I think, because, I mean, before I'm like, well, this guy's got no skills. He's just a pretty suit of armor.
Yeah.
But I am ambivalent towards punching his face. But now I'm like, Well, yeah, he really, he's got the potential to be a real cool badass, but also I want to punch his stupid little face.
Anyways, what did you think of this show in general? Show
I liked it.
Yeah.
Oh, do you mean the viewers?
No, you, in general. I liked it. I'm curious.
I thought it was good. Yeah, I'd watch some more of this.
I think I'd love to do, like, specific arcs for this show, and if anyone's got one that, like, it's to cover, you know, I'd definitely come back to this. I've been meaning to watch this series for so long, and it is still canon, but after watching that movie when it first came out, which is notoriously bad, which kicked off this series, I'm just like, I fucking hate this. And I, but genuinely,
yeah,
this becomes a really great show and I should work my way through it. Anyway, here's a hint for next week's episode. It's Frozen. We're doing Frozen.
It's good hint. I liked it.
Thanks.
Give me a week and I'll puzzle it out. Don't even worry about it. I'll put it in the comments.
Terrific.
I mean, despite the fact that you said it was Frozen, I think it's Frozen.
Also, of course, if you do have a suggestion for Caravan of Garbage, we do videos here every Sunday, every Tuesday, and every Thursday.
Oh, yes.
Also, we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. We're going to be covering The Mandalorian on that. Maybe week to week, maybe just whenever we feel like talking about it. I'm really excited.
Is it coming out week to week or is it coming out
It's coming out week to week, big time.
Oh, my goodness, like old school television.
That's right.
Wow.
Like your granddad's television. What did he used to watch? Dragnet, probably.
Absolutely. Just nonstop Dragnet on Laserdisc. With granddad. I'll tell you what.
Anyways, I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Thanks for stopping on by.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye. This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.